or he's going to use that to affect someone else for the better. You know, we talk about all the time, you know, things that you go through in life. Once you overcome those things, you can use that to help someone else that has done the same thing or has been through the same thing. So to me, that verse, and I believe that's what it means, is that whatever happens, no matter what it is, God can fix it and say, okay, it was bad and it was tough to get through, but we're going to make it worth good. So, I mean, life's obstacles are tough on us, but we don't have to give in to them, obviously. The second one that I want to look at real quick is complacency. Or getting in a rut, everything's going well, so you get bored. Most people know what complacency means or has an idea. But I looked this up, Webster's definition. It was very interesting to me. I don't know if it even meant what I thought it meant. Probably meant that way somehow. But anyway, it says, self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. That's the definition. Self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. So it's kind of like you're just happy with yourself, even though there's things that's out there that can mess it up or can cause you problems. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I come home from church on Sunday and was walking into our kitchen that goes into our washroom there, and the kitchen's laminate flooring, you know, that fake wood stuff. And yeah. And the laundry room is ceramic tile, I think that's what it is. It's big tiles. But anyway, I step on the floor there at the threshold of the door and water just rushes out from under the wood into the washroom. And obviously that was a surprise to me, you know. Everything we've lived in this house for almost 2 years and everything's been pretty awesome. And all of a sudden, I step on the ground and water comes out. It was very strange. Ended up, we had to get a guy to come out, a plumber to come out. And this house is on a foundation of concrete, so it's not like you can just crawl under the edge and go fix it. So we had to jackhammer it. The guy came in with a jackhammer, tore up my kitchen floor. It was awesome. And so I still have that hole, by the way. I haven't concreted it in yet because apparently that's not part of plumbers' jobs. They take it out but don't put it back. So, but really, I'm going to work on fixing that. But anyway, it's kind of the same thing that I'm talking about. Underneath there, apparently for a while there was a problem, and we were what does it say? What did Webster say? Unaware of dangers and deficiencies. We was unaware that it was going on, but apparently it was either wearing out or, he says, electrolysis. That I still don't know all about that, but that's kind of like when you get complacent or you get self-satisfied. You know, you're just happy with however it's going, and the easy thing to do is kind of like we talked about with character cruise control, is just kind of go on good. You know, just kind of hang out and ride. And even in this situation, I don't think I could have figured that out, but. You know, in our regular spiritual lives, you know, you can do something to keep this from happening. You know, keep underlying things or keep complacency from happening. And the biggest thing that I could think of as I was putting it together was serving or doing something for somebody. And I talk about that all the time, obviously, because to me it's just awesome. Crystal put this up today. It's from Dino. It says, one of the surest ways to have a revolution in our own lives is when we begin to serve others. And, I mean, it's just amazingly true. And we found that out last night in my life group. We went to Miss Estelle's house. I don't know if you know who Miss Estelle is, but she keeps our kids over here in the nursery. And we went out to her house and, you know, just was cleaning up her yard, mowing, raking, weed eating, chopping down trees. I mean, just about everything. Cleaned out her carport. And she was real reluctant at first. She didn't really want us to do a whole lot. You know, she felt like she owed us. You know, if we done anything, she had to do something for us. And in like the middle of the whole thing, she decides that she wants to buy something. And one of the kids says, "I want ice cream." So she comes out with some money, and she lives right beside Sonic. So we went over there, you know, and let her buy the kids ice cream cones. And after that, she was cool with, you know, just whatever we wanted to do to help. She just kind of let us do it, you know. And at the end of the thing, at the end of the evening, she came up, you know, and she said, "I just feel like I just want to do something for you, you know." And, you know, I just said, "Well, just give me a hug." And, of course, she just gave us a hug. And at one point, she said she'd watch her kids for free. I mean, just... And I was thinking about that today. Me and Pastor was talking about it. And that took us 4 hours, 4.5 hours tops. And it's just amazing how much that small amount of our time could make such an impact, you know. And people, she was telling people about it all day long. I talked to her when she got here. And she said, "I've been telling people all day, and I'm just going to keep telling them, you know, that that church cares about people." You know, and that's good for her. But also, it builds us, you know. It makes a difference in us. I mean, not only does our group grow closer, but it shows us that God's love does affect people. You know, it ain't just going out there and reading. You know, we could have went on and stood on our front porch and read out of Psalms all night long, you know. Maybe, it might have done something, you know. But more than likely, you know, she might have brought the shotgun out. But no, I don't know. But the Bible talks about complacency in Revelations, and we've looked at this before, but it's Revelations 3, verses 14 through 17. If you want to get there, I could use a drink. Revelations 3:14. And I'm going to say this is to the church in Laodicea. Does that sound close? In verse 14, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." An interesting thing about this church was they had everything. And I read, you know, I read commentaries and stuff, and it's apparently, this one guy commentated, I guess, said that there was a big earthquake and the government people tried to give them money and they didn't take it because they had so much. I mean, they didn't have anything. I mean, they had everything. They didn't need anything. And another commentator said they had actually created a salve to put on eyes, and I think it talks about it in later on in that section, that made people see better. I mean, they were just self-sufficient. And that's what, you know, that's what God sent to them was, you know, just because you've got it all, just because you've got it all together doesn't mean you don't need me. You know, if you don't have me in the picture, then you're pretty much worthless. You know, you're pitiful.
Right.
So, I mean, to me, complacency can cause a big problem for your spiritual life or your church life, however you want to say it. I mean, if you just get, "I'm good. You know, I've been coming here. I know. I've read the Bible. You know, I'm fine." But if you don't keep looking, you know, if you don't keep digging in and looking at your small problems, you know, eventually it'll be like my floor chopped up with a jackhammer. So, anyway, yeah, I know, I'm silly. But, like I said, the easiest way is to put your faith in action, just like we talked about last night. Putting your faith in action can solve a lot of this. A lot of the things we talk about, a lot of the things that I'm going to bring up even next week, a lot of the things you can do is serve somebody. You know, put your faith into action. Believe what you say you believe. The third one we're going to look at is ministry mishaps, and it's the first one I look at is picking the wrong thing to do. Has anybody ever done that? You know, you decide I'm awesome. I love Jesus. I want to do something. You know, I want to serve somewhere, and the first thing you get into, you might get in there and not like it at all. You know, it's kind of interesting because I thought about, you know, putting a little title right there on that spot that called failed ministry. But then I got, you know, I rethought it and I thought that, you know, if it has the right basis or the right root, I don't think that ministry can fail. So, I mean, there's two things that I looked at and I thought about that can cause it to struggle. But I don't know for sure that one can fail if one, they have the right motive. You know, why did they start in the first place? Why did they get into that? Why did I do it? You know, did I do it because I want people to see me, you know, being in a spot of leadership or even, you know, get buttons or stars for doing good stuff? Or did I do it because I love God and I want other people to see that I love God and that God loves people? And then the other thing that could be a problem is losing the focus. You know, get in it. I mean, this has happened to me before. I mean, you get in there and you start working, and you forget, why am I working? And you start looking at the best way to do something instead of asking God the best way to do something or asking God the best thing to say. You lose your focus. And when those two things enter the picture, one or the other or both, then the ministry can seriously struggle, especially if you're leading it. But this is very interesting. When venturing into being, you know, in some kind of ministry, I thought that we should be like an escalator. I don't know if y'all ever thought about escalators. But they go up or they go down, right? And I thought, in ministry, what do? Me right now, I try to bring the message to you and in turn bring you closer to God, correct? Is that what we do? But when an escalator messes up, what happens? Does anybody know what happens when an escalator messes up? Close. They said take the stairs. It actually becomes stairs. An escalator never fails. It gets harder, but it never stops its function. It carries people up. It carries them down, whether they have to use more effort. And oftentimes when we start a ministry or helping in the ministry, it might not feel right. You know, the escalator might stop working, but we can always take a step in another direction or even try harder. I mean, obviously change is always hard. You know, but what do we look at? You know, when we see an escalator not working, we think, oh, it's broke. And sometimes we look at ourselves like that. You know, if you choose to do something, if you choose to help out in the ministry, oftentimes if it doesn't work out, you start smashing yourself. You know, and saying, well, I failed, you know. Apparently God's not using me anymore or something like that. But we're the same way. I mean, we can change. We can still do something regardless of whether it's harder or easier. Oh, yeah. I was going to say also, it's a lot of times when you get to be the leader, it's tough to remember that's where we are, you know. People need a chance to grow. People need a chance to try it out. And oftentimes it's really hard to go for excellence in ministry and leniency at the same time. So it's nice to be able to keep it open, let people come in, try it out, but have grace. You know, we talk about that all the time. We give people room to grow closer and closer to God at their own pace. You know, we don't come in and make you come up here and get saved real fast and make you do everything that we say when we say it. I think that should be the same way in helping out at church. I think we should let people grow into helping. I mean, you can't expect, you know, people just to jump in there and just go for it. Give me a second here. There. Okay. So anyway, even I was thinking more about ministry when sometimes we'll startle. You know, you might decide to do something, and a lot of times we'll be afraid to do it. And I think you just got to go for it. It's not really something on here, but if you're thinking about doing something, if you're thinking about starting something up, just go for it. I mean, if you don't step out there, everybody talks about the story where Peter steps out there on the water, right? You just got to go for it and step out. He caught him, I think, didn't he? Anyway, I don't have any idea. That was about the fastest ever. 10 minutes early. But you gotta overcome life's obstacles. That's for sure. When the problems come, just go through them. You know, make another path if you have to. But don't use it as the point to quit. Because once you quit, you fall off, basically. You know, God will still be there if you want to turn around and come back, but it just gets harder and harder for you. And then, I forgot what the other one was. Oh, complacency. It's easy to get happy and hang. That's about probably one of the most common. It's just to get there and cruise. You just got to keep digging at yourself. It's a step forward thing, you know. You just got to look in there. You may think you're cool, but look closer, because none of us have it perfect, you know. There's always that one thing that's right there, you know, and we may have to ask God to show us what that is, you know, give us the chance to actually change something, because we can go into hangout mode and everything's good. So anyway, that's pretty much what I got for the evening. Sorry it wasn't longer. I'm still trying hard, though. Does anybody have anything, any kind of announcements? That Pastor usually makes an announcement, and I... The teen life group, if there's any parents of teenagers or teenagers in here, are going to do their Servolution project this Saturday at 10 to 2 at the Murphy USA. It's a car wash, correct? Yeah. Car wash. If it does rain, you could hold umbrellas for people coming out of Walmart. So there's your another one.
It's on.
So it's on Servolution Saturday, 10 to 2.
Bring an umbrella.
Anyone got anything else? Jason said that the CR thing may be postponed because of weather. I guess he will keep you up to date on that. Yeah, it's supposed to storm. But anyway, all right, let's pray and let you get out of here. Father, we just thank you for another chance to come in and